This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Every Wednesday at 12:20, we talk to Chris Woodward, the manager of the Texas Rangers. It's brought to you by City Credit Union. Visit cu.org. And the Rangers Rewards Fan Card. Score big with the card that delivers swag and experiences that Ranger fans really want. Apply today at rangersrewards.com. So here we are on the home of the Texas Rangers with the manager, the skipper man. It's Woody. Good afternoon, Woody. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're all doing right. Well. I got to start off with the news from before yesterday's game because I got all angry on Twitter about Willie Calhoun going down with some of the seasons that some of the other players on the team have had, but I know there's a lot more that goes on to that than, hey, here's the numbers of them all year. So what was the thinking behind Willie going down, and were there any other things that you guys considered doing?
We considered a lot of different options, and it honestly came down to a numbers game in the outfield, and I don't want to send Willie Calhoun down. I think he's been tremendous for us. I think he's done a great job, honestly, ever since we got him. It was ever since we called him up. At the time we were 5 games under .500, and we are where we are now, and he's a big part of that. And so it wasn't an easy decision, and I knew kind of no matter what decision we made, it was going to be a really tough conversation, and it was kind of a gut-wrenching decision for us, especially for me as a manager, and just wasn't a fun day to have to send a guy down that I felt like didn't necessarily deserve to be sent down, but I told him he'd be back soon, and we're going to do everything we can to get him back here as quickly as possible. But it came down to, we have a lot of outfielders, and regardless if if we made a different move for somebody else that wasn't an outfielder, then it would have created some major crowding issues. So he wouldn't have been able to play as much as he would like anyways. And I know he'd probably rather be in the big leagues than be in AAA playing every day, but at least, he gets a chance to go down and play, and hopefully sooner than later, like I said, he'll be back and helping us win games again.
So how tough is it for him? Now, I know it's going to be really tough when you get microphones right in front of you right after you get the news on something that I'm sure is really disappointing for him, but in your conversations with him, how has he been able to handle that, or how have you seen his maturity grow throughout your time with him?
Yeah, in spring training it was, he didn't love the news, of him getting sent down as well. So, he's had to deal with this twice now, and part of me feels pretty bad. I know it's a business, and things like that have to happen when you have options. When you're a younger player, you kind of have to deal with those things at times. So I think he's handled it fine. He handled the first one fine. I know this one he's disappointed, and I know he'll be, have a little edge to him, obviously, when he goes down. But, I just told him, make sure that his head is in the right place, and he's ready to get back here and help us as quickly as possible.
So, Woody, start off by speaking in general. The bottom of the lineup right now just, isn't really coming through. And you can look at the whole lineup, too, recently, just with the hits. But the bottom of the lineup, do you want to go back to kind of, more old school? When you get to the bottom of the lineup and trying to figure out how to manufacture runs down there because guys really aren't coming through with big extra base hits at times that you'd hope they'd have?
I think we just got to really dig into, what are our swing decisions? Are we hitting the ball hard? And I think that, there's so much improvement that can occur. And this is, I kind of had a feeling that there was going to be a little bit of a lull at this point in the season because we've demanded so much from a mental standpoint, preparation standpoint, that, we might be dealing with a little bit of mental fatigue, more so than actual physical fatigue. And we'll get through that. We'll push through that. I think we'll come out of the other side much better for it. But, we just got to make sure we hold true to our processes and keep evaluating them based on what we talked about from the beginning. Are they getting good pitches to hit? Are they swinging at good pitches? More of the true outcome results instead of the actual statistic results. And we just got to keep honestly supporting and keep pushing them because that's, we knew that there was going to be some difficulties this year, and this is a time where we got to start, addressing those things and righting the ship a little bit.
Guzzi got off to a pretty good start this year, and then he had the hamstring injury, and since he's come back, he's really struggled to hit. He plays great defense at first base. Can you talk about why he struggled since the injury?
He was really good in that Anaheim series right before. It's too bad because I felt like what he had going was, you know, was consistent, and it was, you know, I felt like it could have led to a pretty good year. And you know, it's the growth of a younger player, and I'm really proud of him because he's bought into a lot of things and a lot of ideas, and he's still kind of searching for that swing that he had before he got hurt. But from a preparation standpoint, I'm really proud of the kid because he's done everything we've asked. You know, he's really trying to learn, like I said, from a mechanical standpoint where he needs to be on a consistent basis. And right now, you know, I'm obviously not playing him as much, not on an everyday basis, but he is our first baseman. And I won't, you know, I've obviously told him that and make sure he understands that. But at the same time, I'm trying to let him kind of work through some things and maybe work on some things in the cage, continue to grow and learn and develop. And it's just, you know, you hope he just has a little bit of success. I know he hit the big homer against the Houston in the Houston series, and I thought that was going to hopefully snowball into something. But hitting's hard, man. Mm-hmm. It's really hard, and you know, when you're grinding through as a young player, we're trying to take the emotion out of the equation, so he doesn't get wrapped up and, you know, and let it snowball into something that doesn't need to. I guess the struggle doesn't need to happen. But he's such a good kid, and like I said, he's learning. So it's we got to support him through that.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and he is the first baseman. But is there any scenario that you could possibly see Joey Gallo playing first base? In other words, let's say he gets hurt. There's a hamstring again. Could you see Gallo moving over there for the benefit of the team?
Only in a, I guess, in an extreme scenario where, you know, we're a game back or two games back and, you know, we have a month left, and you know, that scenario I could see, but I don't really plan on using him there. Mm-hmm. I've kind of told him I'd rather keep him in the outfield. But like I said, if there's an extreme case, you know, he's been, you know, we've communicated at times just in case something were to happen late in the season or later in the season. But I would give him a pretty good warning.
Mm-hmm.
So he could start working over there. I wouldn't just throw it on him, you know, last second. But I'd rather keep him in the outfield. It keeps his head kind of in a better place.
Mm-hmm. Woody, I'm going to go over kind of the last 10 years, and you'll probably remember one of my teammates, Johnny Mack, John McDonald, who was an unbelievably great defensive shortstop as kind of a bench player and very valuable for his 10-plus years in the major leagues. But with strikeouts out of the last 10 years, strikeouts have gone way up in Major League Baseball, so there's actually less balls to field because there's more strikeouts. And then the shift has come into play where you're positioning players in certain positions where I know they still have to need range, but you're kind of positioning them where you assume the ball is going to be hit. Is defense less of a commodity now than it was 10-plus years ago because of how many times the ball is not in play and then because of the shift?
That's a great point, yeah. I mean, you can make an argument for that for sure. I think there's more emphasis placed on, you know, being able to field the ball cleanly, I guess. You know, the range part of it helps because you don't have to shift as much, so there's not as much overlap. But when you don't have the kind of range, you know, and you're limited, then it kind of forces you as an organization to kind of either shift more or maybe overlap some coverage because, you know, you don't have the foot speed to get to it. But you see teams that have like elite defenders that are really rangy. They have the ability to kind of spread out their defense a little bit and cover more ground. But yeah, I think that's a fair statement because, you know, balls aren't being hit on the ground nearly as often as they used to be. And yeah, it's definitely a true statement.
Woody, I got to ask you about a report from John Morosi because it's a credible source. He says, sources say Mike Minor is increasingly likely to be traded in the next 2 weeks. When stuff like that is starting to come out, which it's going to every trade deadline, we talked about it a little bit last week, but how does that affect guys on the team, and is there anything you could even comment about it?
You know, I'm not shy about, you know, bringing out the obvious mm-hmm. to our team. It's the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about, but you kind of address it and you say, you know, we have a couple ways we can deal with this. It's something that we have to deal with every year, so why are we throwing our arms up and, you know, surprised by it? Because it happens pretty much on every team, whether you're contending or not contending. You know, either you're upset you didn't add or you're upset you traded. So It's part of the game, and it's obviously a big part of the industry. Teams have, you know, made a lot of quality trades over the years that, you know, provided a lot of value later on. So, you know, with my team, you know, we'll say, hey, this is a reality. This is what could potentially happen. This is everybody here. You know, somebody may not be here at the end of this month. That's just a reality. But we still have to go out and, you know, compete each pitch with the intent to win, and that's all we can do.
And then when it comes to your lineup right now, just looking, and I know your team's leading the league in strikeouts barely as an offensive unit. Is that something that you want the guys to concentrate more on? I know the game's changed, but putting the ball more in play, or maybe having a better two-strike approach. Do you feel like as the season's gone along, y'all's two-strike approach has gone away a little bit?
I don't think it's gone away because we address it quite often. But yeah, I mean, I would like to see that go down. Obviously, I don't think our team should be leading the league in strikeouts. I know every team's going to strike out, and we have guys that have lately. I feel like lately we've been striking out a lot more. But like I said, it comes down to our processes. Like, can we stay in the strike zone? Can we differentiate ball and strike? And we've been, you know, susceptible to chase. And we honestly need to get better at that. And that's something that, we talk about a lot, but it's not as easy to say just, okay, stop striking out. Because, you know, that's kind of the worst. And I've seen that a little bit from our guys where we're almost in a hurry to get the bat over with so we don't strike out, which leads to actually more chase early in the count, which puts us behind in counts, which inevitably leads to more strikeouts because we're trying to, you know, initiate instead of really being selective early in the count to what we really want to hit. And a lot of times if you get the pitch you're looking to hit, you'll put it in play hard somewhere and, you know, alleviate the strikeout. But when we do get two strikes, I think, we do need to do a better job of staying in the strike zone, maybe shortening up, getting on top of balls, and really understanding what pitches we are, you know, from an individual standpoint, how they're getting us out, how they are striking us out. Is it, you know, breaking balls in the dirt or elevated fastballs? You know, I think each individual hitter needs to be aware of that so that they can kind of counter, you know, what it is teams are trying to do to us.
So last year, Woody, obviously Beltre owned the clubhouse, and there were other leaders on the team last year too, but it started with Beltre and then the line form behind him. And I know you weren't here last year as the manager, but now that you've got to manage this team for over half of a season, who would you say is really stepping up and maybe taking on a more of a leadership role for you on the team?
We have quite a few. Obviously, you know, Elvis is one guy that comes to mind, but there's been a lot of guys. I mean, Hunter's taken a huge role. You know, Logan Forsythe's taken a huge role. You know, Sean Kelly, Lance Lynn, Miner. I mean, there's a lot of guys on our team. Jesse Chavez. We have a lot of quality leadership on our team too. So it's kind of spread out, and I think it's a good thing because there's a lot of, Elvis leads in a different way that Hunter leads and, you know, Chavez leads. So they all kind of have their own way about it. But, I'm constantly trying to push them to, you know, not only elevate themselves, but like elevate everybody around them. But it is nice to have, you know, more than just one or two guys. You can name seven or eight guys easy that share those roles.
Well, Woody, we're incredibly thankful for how forthcoming you are each week. I think it's really great for Ranger fans. Thanks for the time, and we'll be pulling for you tonight.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.